This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. I recently had the pleasure of talking to two childhood best friends, Marcus Merck Elliston and Sherdon Reynolds.
Sherdon Reynolds is a pioneer in my eyes. Not only one of my best friends, but she's a cornerstone in so many ways to so many people.
That's Merck talking about Sherdon. They met as little kids because they both spent their early years in a well-known public housing project called the Cabrini Green Homes.
Merck and I were both born in Cabrini Green. Eventually, his family moved over to what we called the Orange Doors. And I can't tell you exactly the day we met, but I can say that when we met, I never stopped going over there.
Now, those memories are not something Sherdon can really revisit, at least not physically. Most of the buildings from Cabrini Green Homes were demolished by 2011. And there was actually a church in the same area within Cabrini Green that is currently defunct. Merck and Sherdon remember that building being a staple in a community. And now they're raising money to buy it, restore it, and turn it into a creative hub. Sherdon and Merck are both artists, and they've always connected around art. So it makes sense that they would want to set the space up for creatives. Now, the building in question is called Strangers Home Missionary Baptist Church, and it used to have these iconic murals on the inside and outside. The mural was called All of Mankind. The artist, William Walker, painted people congregating and holding hands. He painted names of civil rights leaders on a building. It was kind of a symbol of unity, but now all that has been whitewashed over. Despite the fact that the city has demolished and whitewashed most of Cabrini Green, some of the former residents have a lot of pride, especially Sherdon. Some of her family members actually worked in administration there.
My family never saw it as a woe is me. It was always, we have the opportunity to be more and build more no matter where we are.
First, I want to zoom out a little bit. Because for me, and a lot of people, most of the places from my childhood are still standing. I can go back and visit if I want. Since that's not the case for the folks who used to live in Cabrini Green, I wanted to know how that sat with Sherdon and Merck.
Recently, Merck and I went over to record some content at the church, and I hadn't been back for some time. And I remember as we were riding and making our way to the church, I was passing the building that I was raised in, the building that he was raised in. We went a back route and I realized the YMCA was gone. My high school was gone and
wow.
Everything was gone. And it broke me in that moment. Like I couldn't, the only way I can express it was through tears. And I realized that people don't understand how fortunate they are to be able to see their childhood, right? To be able to take their children back to where they were raised. I realized that although I can't see my history, I can create a new one for the next generation. I can still build on the land of our people so that people have somewhere to return to.
Yeah. Merck, would you add anything to that?
I think about it a lot in the sense of us culturally being normalizing the ideas of like memories, and that's what we get to share, this folklore. And I think that when I hear Sherdon talk about it, and even, you know, sitting next to her, and I sometimes take for granted being able to go see my high school or, you know, other places I've lived over the years. I think that one of the things that gets lost in gentrification and just expansion in big cities is this, for us in particular, the idea that all we have to share is memories, and those memories get lost in translation. They get, you know, misrepresented. And I just feel, you know, even as I grow, the value of a moment and being able to encapsulate it and reserve it on the real estate that accompanied the memory is just as valuable. Mm-hmm. So as people travel the world and tell the story about Cabrini, it's something about this key ingredient being the environment that no longer exists, that that we want to pertain. And as the story starts to stick less, I think it loses its stickiness because the glue is the ground that it was created on. Mm. And us not having a ground is why the moments, you know, they just lack retention the way that they need to be. So
yeah. I want to talk about the building in a question. One of the buildings that is still standing, Strangers Home Missionary Baptist Church. Earlier this year, Preservation Chicago named it as one of the Chicago 7 most endangered. At one point, the Strangers Home was known as Chicago's Sistine Chapel. Can you tell me, Merk, a little bit about the history of this church?
The church has a history that expands even before Cabrini Green housing projects. It was probably spoken about in the most direct way via William Walker's legendary piece For All Mankind, which he erected, and this was 1972. And to think about 1972 and, you know, to allow this building to be a canvas for a piece that, you know, spoke to unity and diversity, but in particularly spoke strongly to Black family, to Black fatherhood. It was so many different pieces that this mural spoke to. And now, you know, to see it itself being, you know, whitewashed, you know, theoretically like the neighborhood.
It is very striking to see the pictures of the mural.
Yes.
You know, how it used to look, and then to see the building now, and it's just white, and then at the bottom there's some
graffiti.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever else is there is, it's doesn't capture the how vivid the building used to be. Sherdon, yeah, I'd love to hear you talk about what you remember of Strangers Home and the significance that it had when you were growing up.
Yeah, you know, I think about, have you ever been in a situation where it was just a part of your day-to-day?
Yeah.
You didn't understand the impact, how valuable it was, and so somebody took it away from you? That was Stranger Homes. Like, to see a mural that spoke to unity, to see imaging of Black families and present fathers, that was normal to me. Despite the negative infamy that Cabrini Green had collectively, the images that were visible on that building, on the church interior and exterior, were just true representations of how I was raised,
yeah,
my upbringing, right? So it wasn't so unique and special in that moment because it was a part of my day to day.
And
so someone decided that they didn't see value in it, particularly as people of color. Like, we all show up who we are authentically in our youth, and we're excited about who we are and our braids and our locks and our beautiful melanated skin. And it's not until we walk into a whitewashed establishment that somebody tells us this is not good enough. And then we slowly start to strip away the things that make us our authentic self. That's what happened to that building. We're here now with our house to say, like, that is no longer the way that we're moving. And, you know, we've had years of building our own successful businesses, which was right on time to build the confidence to come back and say, we're not only removing this white paint, white face off this building, but we're going to take back our history and our land and restore for another generation the privilege of just existing around excellence and not having to be so grateful for it because you may lose it one day.
Shardon, you're raising, you and Merck and a few other folks that you're working with are raising $150,000 toward purchasing the building from its current owner. What shape is Stranger's Home in right now?
It is in a non-functional space.
Okay.
It's going to require a lot of work. And so it's not just us raising funds to acquire the building, but we also need support in doing the build outs that are necessary, the restoring of the murals, which is really important to us. And we're working with the coalition, the All Mankind Coalition, to support us in that effort. And in the interim, we still want to curate programming. We still want to, you know, show people what we're going to bring to the community full time, even without the four walls to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to host webinars and workshops monthly to bring the community, not just former residents, but current residents together, still on the near north side. We want to potentially partner with some of the other entities that have use the conversation around Cabrini in the film space, for example. So we want to be able to do some screens in the park and potentially screen, you know, the Candyman or Cooley High or this new movie that just came out.
We Grown Now.
Thank you. And screen that kind of on the side of the building and use those as opportunity to not just bring the community together and raise funds, but also give those filmmakers and creatives the opportunity to contribute to the community that they are using to build their own artistic platforms, right?
Yeah. I have heard you, Merck, talking about art from the very beginning. And I know that a lot of the way you want to activate the space once you acquire it is very centered in art. And I would love to hear you talk about some of the motivations for making this a creative space and activating creative community here.
Man, where do I start? So, but dating back to, you know, the center of Shardon and I's friendship, you know, art played a role in that. Art has been, you know, it's been my running mate throughout my entrepreneur journey through music and event planning and fashion and whatever the case may be. And I see with this church and the greatness of William Walker, art being able to communicate in ways that our language doesn't allow us to, or our frame doesn't allow us to. On the work with working within this project in particular, I've garnered new friendships with people that I wouldn't have ever, you know, seen myself being able to share space with. And I have to accredit that to art. And I think that I'll bet a dollar that I know that the unique segregation that we deal with in the city, and Cabrini Art House being almost like the perfect case study for a story in Chicago segregation, and the one language that can help break down these walls that exist for lack of understanding and allowing ourselves to add unique perspective, you know, it is rooted in art. So when I look at the mural or pictures of the mural and I watch people share their stories on it, it's a little different than mine, but I understand where they're coming from and I understand where I'm coming from. So I do realize the power of art being able to be this sort of, you know, nonverbal style of friendship brokering, you know. So in the mediums it does that in, I would love for our facility to be able to host those several mediums.
Cabrini Green was a special community in so many ways. For one, it became a fixture in American culture and media. Candyman, you talked about Good Times celebrating their anniversary this year, 40 years. There was also a Cabrini Green character on SNL, which I learned about recently. And there are some contemporary media references to the community as well. Candyman is being remade. You mentioned that film, We Grown Now. There's an animation of Good Times. how do you hope the story of Cabrini Green will continue in our culture?
Oh, that's a great question. I think to what you just shared, the story never stopped, but the story, it never carried the weight of sharing it with the full community. Right. It was always, the story was told in these like individual silos and taking on, you know, a single perspective of what Cabrini is. And so my hope is that people will continue to share the story, but I want them to share it in the spirit of giving back something, contributing to the community, and not solely centered around capitalizing off of the story of Cabrini Green. I want people to give as much as they take.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see it. And as much as we see you, we want you to see us, right? So reach out and reconnect, and let's talk about how collectively we can share the nuance of the story of Cabrini.
Mm-hmm. Our story is not of trauma and survival. It's also of trauma and survival. And I think our reputation has been under large misrepresentation. There's so many beautiful stories that exist with, you know, in our community.
Marcus Merck Elliston and Sherdon Reynolds are former Cabrini Green residents, and they're working to launch Cabrini Art House. Merck, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sherdon, thank you.
No, thank you.
You can find out more about their project at CabriniArtHouse.com. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer, and Dave Miska was the engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a big shout out to Adora Namigade, Lisa Labis, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon episodes. I'm Erin Allen. Happy Friday, y'all. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.